It is so very good to see everybody here this morning. As I'm scanning the audience, I see we have several people that are visiting with us. It is always our intention, always our desire to make those of you that are visiting feel so welcome, that whenever you're back here in the Searcy area again, hopefully you want to come back and worship God together with us again. A sermon this morning is going to begin over here in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The first part of the verse is talking about physical illnesses and how a man's spirit is able to sustain him when he is dealing and struggling with physical illnesses. Many times in my life as a preacher and as a Christian, I have visited a lot of people in hospitals and at their homes who are very, very ill. And one of the more amazing things that I have observed in my life as a Christian when I'm visiting these people is how when I'm going to cheer them up, invariably, actually, they're the ones cheering me up. And how many times that has happened to me, I cannot begin to tell you. And what I see is the inner strength of Christians that even though they're going through physical illnesses, and some of them terrible illnesses, they're still able to smile, they're still able to have joy and peace because of their relationship with God, even when they know they're going to be dying soon. But the last part of the verse is what I want to look at, and that is another kind of wound, and that is not in the flesh and in your body. It is a wound that is in your spirit. The wounded spirit, God says, who can bear it? Our sermon this morning is going to be a study of wounded spirits. And more importantly, how to be healed of a wounded spirit. That is being wounded in your emotions. Luke says about the Lord in chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. Notice what I've underlined here in the text. This is a prophecy from the Old Testament about the Christ, and it says about him, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus was the great and is the great physician. When he was here in the flesh and you came to him and you had any kind of physical illness, he could heal you. Even if you were demon-possessed, he could heal you. Even if he were dead, he could raise you from the dead. He's the great physician. His death on the cross, though, was to heal us spiritually. But then there's another aspect of me. I am physical and I am spiritual, but I have an emotional side in my mind and heart. And that is what I think this particular phrase is dealing with. And that is healing the brokenhearted. That's what we're talking about this morning. And that is where you're brokenhearted, where you have wounds in your spirit. Wounds, if you will, that you're struggling with in your emotions. In particular, we're going to be talking about the emotions of sorrow, guilt, anger, and fear. All of these are emotions. And in my life as a preacher, I've come across multitudes of Christians who struggle with wounds in these particular areas in their emotions. And a lot of times when I come in contact with these people and I'm talking with them, this is a phrase I've heard a lot. Wayne, I have struggled with this wound in my emotions for so long, I've come to the conclusion that I'm not going to get past it. I can't get past it. I can't overcome it. Now then, if that's describing you, this verse is for you. Notice in the verse here, the verse does not say, I can't do anything. The verse says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is one of the things I want you to recognize. If you do have a wounded spirit caused by anger and wrath and bitterness, you can be healed of it. If you do have a wounded spirit caused by guilt of your sins, you can be healed of it. If you do have a wounded spirit caused by fear of what's going to be happening to you and your family in the future, you can be healed of it. If you have a wounded spirit caused by sorrow and grief because of trials and sufferings you've gone through in your life, you can be healed of your wounded spirit. So get past this idea of, I can't. The truth of the matter is, you can. But you have to take the prescriptions the great physician gives you in his word. Jesus is the great physician here to heal us spiritually and even the brokenhearted. And so let's first start with the first emotional struggle, and that has to do with wounded spirits caused by bitterness. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, it says, do not become overcome by evil. Let's stop right there. I am sad to say and sorry to say that in your life you're going to have people sin against you. And sometimes the sins that are going to be committed against you are going to be absolutely terrible and horrendous. And many times the people that sin against you are going to be even people in your own family. In my life as a preacher, I have had the honor of having Christians who have had their lives sinned against greatly. They let me in. They honored me by letting me in and letting down their barriers and explaining to me what happened to them and the struggles that they are going through because of what happened to them. And so I'm wanting to share something with you now so that you can know this. You would be amazed how many Christians have been physically abused as children, verbally abused as children, and sexually abused as children. You would be absolutely shocked if you knew how prevalent it is in the body of Christ. The point I'm trying to make is, there's a lot of members of the church who struggle in their emotions because they are angry and filled with wrath and even bitterness because of the sins committed against them. And they are overcome by evil. Their anger and their wrath and their bitterness is spilling over into their present life, and it's poisoning their present relationships with others, and it's poisoning their present life. And again, I cannot begin to tell you how prevalent this is. And so if this is describing you, I am going to show you from the Word of God the prescription for you to take to be healed of your wounded spirit caused by wrath and bitterness and anger. And that is, you overcome evil with good. Yep, there it is. I'll give you another verse that explains it even deeper. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Let's stop right there. I consider this one command the most difficult command in the entire New Covenant. Your enemy is someone who hates you. Your enemy is someone who has sinned against you. His desire is to destroy you. And so there are people out in the world who have hurt you. And quite frankly, they don't care that they hurt you. And if they got a chance again to hurt you, they would. Oh, man, I want to stay away from them. But how do you deal with the fact that they have already hurt you and already sinned against you? And here's the prescription. You love them unconditionally. I didn't say the medicine was going to be easy to swallow. But this is the way out. The Lord goes on further and he says, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's overcoming evil with good. Your enemy doesn't know that you love him. Your enemy doesn't know you're praying for him. And so these people that I have worked with in my life, I've taken them to these verses and show them this. And I can't begin to tell you how many people go, I got to do that? What? Oh, man, okay. But they start working on it. And working on it. And working on it. And then I encourage them, okay, if the person's alive, do something good to them. And continue to pray for them. Understand this, brethren. This verse is not so that your enemy can become your friend. This verse is to keep you from being overcome by the evil done against you by your enemy. This is for your benefit so that you can be healed and not overcome by evil. You're going to have evil done against you, and it is going to attack you in your emotions when that happens. It is going to attack you in your anger, in your wrath, and even in your bitterness, and even in hatred. And as I said, when you have that kind of wounded spirit, it will destroy you and it will overcome you. This is the way out. And it is possible to do it. And I've seen Christians do it. And I know it works. Because I've seen it work in the life of Christians who have been wounded and sinned against greatly. Ephesians puts it this way in chapter 4, 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander along with every form of malice. I've told you this before. Anger flares up quickly and can go out quickly. Wrath is something that hangs on longer. And if you don't get rid of wrath, it turns into bitterness. And if you don't get rid of the bitterness, it turns into malice and hatred. They're all along the same journey. And so when you're finding yourself struggling with these, you can put them off. But the way to do it is by passing over transgressions and praying for them and doing good to them. Verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Forgiveness of others is for you. I'm going to say that again. Forgiveness of others is for you. Many times they will not know that you've passed over the transgression. Many times they will not care if you've passed over the transgression. You're doing this to keep the sin that's been committed against you from overcoming you. And then there's another kind of wounded spirit, and that is guilt. David the psalmist, King David said this in Psalms 51, verse 3. You've got to understand the background for this particular psalm. David was on the roof of his palace one day walking when all the men of Israel that were soldiers were gone, and he noticed a woman bathing named Bathsheba. He lusted after her, committed adultery with her, and when she was with child and conceived and pregnant, in order to cover up the sin, he had her husband killed. And so here you have adultery and murder. And when Nathan the prophet came to him and condemned him of this sin, David wrote this particular psalm. And he says in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions. Now look at the last part of this. And my sin is always before me. What we're talking about here in one word is guilt. And that is me realizing I have sinned against God. And I've sinned a great sin against God. And David is talking about how his sin is always before him. The beauty of Christianity is that we can be forgiven by God. If you go back to Psalms 51 in verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. When I realize that I have sinned against God, what is going to happen in my mind is often I'm going to be thinking, there's no way I'm going to heaven. There's no way I can be saved. Not after what I've done, not after the way I lived. And what happens is, I believe Satan is whispering in my ear, he doesn't want you anymore. You can't make it. You in heaven, you got to be kidding. You with God, you got to be kidding. After what you've done, you can't do that, so give up. Guilt, sometimes Satan will use to get you just to quit trying to serve God and give up. Just to surrender and go, okay, I'm going to go to hell, so let's go for a good reason. And just completely go into the world, into sin, and give up trying to live the Christian life. David was wanting a clean heart again. He was wanting the renewing of a steadfast spirit within him again, to where he could be in his mind and heart right with God. How do you deal with the guilt of your sins? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you have not obeyed the gospel, the good news of the gospel is that Christ crucified happened for you. So that the sins that you have committed, that there's a way in which they can be forgiven. And that is when you, by faith, respond to the gospel of reconciliation, the gospel of Christ. What we're talking about here is becoming a Christian. When you become a Christian, all the sins in your life that you have already committed, every single one of them, are able to be forgiven by the power of the blood of the Christ. Do you think that Paul the Apostle struggled with guilt sometimes? If you study the writings of the Apostle Paul, you will see where often he talked about his sin, about persecuting the church. Let me ask you this. After Saul of Tarsus realized that Jesus really was the Christ, how do you think he felt for those 3 days when he would not eat nor drink when he was praying there in Damascus? In my own mind, I imagine him going through all the people that he had voted against and how they drug them out of their houses and put them in prison. And began now realizing all these people were right and I was the one sinning. In writing to Timothy later on, the Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners. Why did he call himself that? Because in his mind, he was. I give him a good run for his money. How about you? What I see in Paul is someone who understood his sin and continued to think about it at different times in his life. But he used his sin as an example. And that is that God showed mercy to him. When Ananias came to him and he said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Don't you know that was good news to Saul? All those sins he had committed could be washed away through the power of the blood of the Christ. And so when you obey the gospel, you have the ability now to be reconciled to God and start over new. Start over fresh and clean, forgiven by God. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let me ask you, are there any Christians here this morning whose sins are kind of light pink? No, mine are scarlet. And yours are scarlet, okay? The beauty of Christianity is the ability to start over new again and again and again. And again, by taking our sin to God, confessing it to Him, and turning from it. And getting up and getting back into the race. What Satan is going to whisper in your ear when you mess up again is stay on the ground. Give up. Surrender. You can't finish the race, so stop now. Do not let that lie keep you entangled in sin away from God. Even though your sins are terrible and you may have done it many times, God will forgive you. The power of the blood of Christ has the power to wash you completely and remove all sins from you, to where when judgment day does come, and it is coming, you will stand before God blameless and holy and pure only by the power of the blood of the Christ and your faith in him. And so, listen real close to this now. In Philippians 3, the verse that was read for you earlier, verse 13 through 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind. You know, the human mind is an interesting thing. I can't forget. I remember my past, unfortunately, extremely precise and very detailed. And what Satan wants you to do is to keep beating yourself down with guilt for sins you've already been forgiven of. And therein lies my struggle sometimes. And that is, I keep hanging on to guilt for sins I've already taken to God. I keep hanging on to guilt for sins I've prayed countless times about. I keep going back to even college 40 and 50 years ago. Why is that? Because there is an emotional wound we struggle with, and it's called guilt. We can be healed of guilt, and here's the way out. When you've taken the sin to God and you've dealt with it, and you've taken it to him and you prayed for forgiveness of it, when God forgives you, you forgive yourself. When you make peace with God, you make peace with yourself. And if you're going to do anything with the sins of your past life, use them to help others find their way out of it. That's what Paul did with his sins. He used the fact that God had mercy on him as an example that if God can have mercy on him and if Paul can go to heaven, anyone can. And that includes you, and it doesn't matter how terrible your sin is or how many times you've done it. God is willing to forgive you when you deal with it. So deal with it and get up and let the past go and focus on where you're going. Don't stay on the ground entangled in sin. And then there's fear. Proverbs 12 and 25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. What I want to see is the beginning of the verse. An anxious heart, that's fear, worrying, anxiousness. And the text here talks about how it weighs you down. The idea of weighing you down is it makes it difficult for you to function and live a normal, productive life. Fear weighs you down. And it chains you. And it makes it difficult for you to function and do things. So how can you be healed of a wounded spirit caused by fear? You know where I'm going. Isaiah 41, verse 10. I don't think I've gone a month without using this verse. Isaiah 41, 10. There's a reason this is my favorite verse. Because this is the one that hits me the most. This is the one I run to the most. Do not fear, for I am with you. Let me stop right there. Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe God is with you? If you think you are alone, therein lies part of the problem, a major part of the problem. And that is, you think you've got to deal with your life and all the trials and all the problems of your life all by yourself. And if you're a child of God, that's just not true. God really is with you. He really is in your life. He really does hear your prayers and answer your prayers. And so the very first thing to overcome the fear that's chaining you, that's weighing you down, is to know, now listen real close to this, with no doubt that God really is with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely, I will help you. Surely, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God will strengthen you. You're going to get weary sometimes, got nothing left to give. God will strengthen you. You're going to need help sometimes, help a whole lot of times. God will help you. And when you can't go any further on your own, he'll hold you up with his righteous right hand. And so because God is with me, because God will strengthen me, because God will help me, because God will hold me up when I have nothing left to give, I do not need to be afraid. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? Because the shepherd, the good shepherd, is with us. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Notice how it begins. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Don't be afraid about anything. So what do you do about them? Problems. The things that are causing you to be afraid. The things you're worrying about. Take them to God in prayer. But when you take them to God in prayer, the prayer must be a prayer of faith with nothing doubting. You remember James 1? If you're doubting, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. God wants your prayer to be a prayer of absolute faith, knowing God is there. God hears my prayers. The hand of God is in my life. He will answer my prayers. It is a prayer of faith that will result in the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so our relationship with God must be a relationship of absolute faith, nothing doubting. Absolute trust, nothing doubting. That's the way to overcome fear. And then there is sorrow. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You ever heard somebody having a broken heart? I have actually known of people that I am thoroughly convinced they died because their spouse died. And their heart was so broken that not many weeks later, they died. Anybody who's had a loved one die, whether it's your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your sons, your daughters, anyone that's close to you, you understand this verse. How your spirit is broken, and again with sorrow and grief, it becomes difficult to function because you are wounded in your heart and in your mind with sorrow and grief. So how do you heal a wounded spirit is wounded by sorrow and grief? 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 through 8. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved, notice this word, genuine. and a result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Let me ask you this. Why did Satan hit Job the way he did? You know how Satan hit Job? He took all of his wealth away. And then he killed all 10 of his children. And then he took his health away. Why did he hit him this way? Because he was convinced that if he could get Job to suffer, that Job would curse God to his face. And let me ask you, what makes Satan think that this technique will work? Because it has worked for millennia. That when we go through suffering and trials, often we will become angry at God because of the trial, because of the suffering, and we'll become so angry at God, we lose trust in God and we leave God. Because of the suffering. You remember I told you earlier, what is it that overcomes fear? It's faith. And the faith has to be with no doubting whatsoever. Here, getting back to this text here, when you're going through trials, the trying of your what produces patience? Faith. The faith has to be genuine. Hold on to your faith in the trial. Hold on to your faith in the suffering. And on the other side of the fire, you will be more pure, more precious, stronger. With character, hope stronger, and patience produced. So when you're going through sorrow and trials in life, don't get angry at God. Don't think God doesn't care about you. Because that's the lie Satan's going to whisper in your ear. If God cared about you, this wouldn't be happening. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. This particular text, I use over and over and over and over again at every funeral I ever preach. Because when I'm doing a funeral, it's understood there are people there that are having sorrow and grief over the loss of a loved one. This particular part of the Word of God was given to us for a reason. Precisely for the moments when you lose a loved one who has died in Christ. The text begins by saying, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." As Christians, we have something that people out in the world who are not Christians don't have. We have hope. And the hope has to do with the hope of the resurrection and the hope of eternal life in heaven. I have had loved ones of mine die and leave me in this life. But they died in the Lord. And the fact that they died in the Lord, I believe now they are with the Lord, which is far better. But not only that, I know where they are and I can go where they are. I just got some more race to run and more life to live and more service to do to God. You're going to sorrow and you're going to have grief when you lose loved ones. But when that moment comes, you run and you cling to the life raft of your hope. The anchor, the steadfast and sure of the soul. You run and you cling to it and you're going to sorrow, but you don't need to sorrow as others who have no hope. Fix your eyes on the future and say, I realize I'm going to see you again. And there's going to come a time when we'll all be together again. And we're not going to have more death and sorrow and tears in heaven. And it's real and it's coming. So when you're struggling with grief and sorrow and you know that you have and you know that you will, look to the moment in the future when you'll finally see them again and know it is actually coming. And he says in verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. Do you realize this portion of the Word of God was given precisely for the moments when you're struggling with grief and sorrow over the loss of your loved ones? Going back to Philippians 4 and verse 8, and we'll close with this. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Another translation says, think on these things. Another translation says, meditate on these things. Okay, there are things that are wrong right now. Gotcha. There are things that are trials you're going through right now. Gotcha. Understand it. But even though there are things that are wrong in your life, do not sit down with the magnifying glass and just focus on what is wrong. I guarantee you, if you do that, you will sink into the quagmire and the quicksand of depression and discouragement, and you will struggle to get out of it. First of all, I told you earlier, you go and you run to the life raft of hope and you cling to it. But another thing you do is slow down and take time out to meditate and think deeply about the things in your life and in the world around you that are lovely, that are pure, that are honorable, that are of good report. There are things that are good. Do not become so blinded by what is wrong that you cannot see what is right. Have the ability, even in your sorrow, to see the blessings and the wonderful things in your life around you. And slow down and take time to meditate on them and turn your attention to them. And be grateful and thankful for the blessings that are in your life. I'm going to steal a quote here from a dear sister in Texas. It is very difficult for the seeds of discouragement to grow in the heart that is thankful. You hear that? It is very difficult for the seeds of discouragement to grow in a heart that is thankful. Slow down and see what's right. And you remember we read it earlier back here going to the prayer verse? And everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a recognizing of what's right, the blessings that are from God, and thanking God for it. And so what I'm showing you in the sermon this morning is that God understands if you are struggling in your emotions. And God understands that a wounded spirit, and even God says, who can bear it? And the answer is, you can't. If you hang on to these wounds, they will overcome you. That's why the Lord says, don't become overcome by evil. You can be overcome by fear to where it freezes you and you just basically give up. You can be overcome by guilt to where you just think, I can't make it, and give up. You can be overcome by anger and bitterness because of the sins that's been committed against you to where it just completely destroys your life. I've seen it happen. You can get so caught up in sorrow and grief that you get angry at God and leave God. That is why Satan hit Job the way he did. But now that we see the danger and the struggle and the battle of wounded spirits and wounded emotions, know this. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's the good news. And you can be healed of wounded spirits of bitterness and wrath and anger. You can be healed of a wounded spirit of guilt. You can be healed of a wounded spirit of fear. You can be healed of a wounded spirit of sorrow and grief. You can be healed. But you've got to take the medicine. You know, when you go to the doctor and you tell him what's wrong and he says, okay, here's the medicine. Now, how many of you are going to take that medicine and set it on a shelf and go, that's the medicine. Yeah. That'll do it. Yeah. And not take it. That's not going to get it, is it? You got to take the medicine. Take the medicine the great physician prescribes. The medicine to be healed of bitterness and wrath, unconditional love. You overcome evil with good. You pray for those that sinned against you and do evil against you. You do good to them if they're still alive. That's the way to be healed of it. The wounded spirit caused by guilt, deal with the sin. Take it to God. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, do so as quickly as you can. And when you obey the gospel, the blood of the Christ will cleanse you of all sin. And if you're a child of God already and you're getting so discouraged at yourself because you're struggling in sin, okay, get up and deal with it. and keep dealing with it and keep fighting and keep confessing and keep praying and keep going by faith. And when you take the sin to God and you prayed for forgiveness of it and you've dealt with it, let it go. Forgive yourself. Are you seeing that forgiveness is the medicine? Forgiveness of others, forgiveness from God, forgiveness of myself. Forgiveness is the medicine. Take the medicine and be healed. How do you deal with a wounded spirit caused by fear? Trust and faith with no doubting that God really is with you and he'll help you and strengthen you. How do you deal with a wounded spirit caused by sorrow? Trust and faith that what God has promised us is true. The resurrection is real. Eternal life is real. Heaven is real. And that's where we're going. The way you deal with sorrow is hope. And then focusing on the blessings that are being showered upon you daily. And meditate on them. And be thankful for them. And thank God with your mind on those blessings. And in doing so, you can either overcome the broken spirit of sorrow and grief. Doesn't mean it's going to go away quick, completely. You're going to carry some scars to your grave. But you can be healed of it to where it doesn't overwhelm you. And you can function normally. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who is not a child of God yet, not a Christian yet, there is sin in your life. If there's sin in your life, it is standing between you and God. If you realize that this is describing where you are, and you've actually heard the gospel preached and read enough on your own, and you've come to realize who Jesus is, he really is the Christ, the Son of God. He really did rise from the dead after he was crucified for your sins. Those events actually happened, and you believe that. If that faith is already in your heart, what you need to do in order to have the sins that are in your life standing between you and God removed is confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already and you realize there's sin in my life that I'm struggling with, what you do is deal with it. You go straight into it and you take it to God in prayer and you turn from it and you get up and you keep trying to go forward by faith. If that's describing you and you realize there's sin between you and your God that needs to be dealt with, we'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, we'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you if you're willing to repent and come home. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.